The Charmed Life of Alex Moore by Molly Flatt. Read by Sophie Bleasdale. For Yanni, my beginning, middle and end. The world is full of hopeful analogies and handsome, dubious eggs called possibilities. George Eliot, Middlemarch. We all have an old knot in the heart we wish to loosen and untie. Michael Ondaatje, The Cat's Table. As the man flew backwards, he already knew that he was dead. He could feel the blast spreading through his flesh, hot and fast, imploding his organs with something like joy. 7 million lights wheeled around him in a spectacular farewell show, and the taste of copper and ozone flooded his mouth. He was still alive when he hit the ground, alive enough to feel the back of his head bounce, alive enough to watch the last of the lights retreat inside the walls until he was staring into black. That was wrong. That shouldn't be happening. There'd be consequences to that. Consequences he should be around to fix. There was so much still left for him to do. So much he had never had time to say. All the seconds he had spent on ridiculous worries, on arguments that didn't matter, and people he didn't love, scattered before him like sand. And he longed to sweep up the grains and cram them back into his body's brittle hourglass. The chill of the stone was seeping through his flesh, the metallic warmth leaching out of the atmosphere. He heard the scuffle of boots, then the rasp of panicked breath as someone knelt beside his face. He had to tell them. He had to give them a chance, even if he couldn't, to salvage something from this almighty mess. So with the last of his breath, he spoke the words. 3 words. And as his lungs rattled to a halt and his neurons winked out like the lights that had so swiftly, catastrophically fled, he just about had time to think 2 final thoughts. First, he wondered what would happen to the woman. And then he hoped, with all his failing heart, that his dear, beloved, pig-headed, bloody son wouldn't do anything stupid. Chapter 1. Alex took a breath, then froze. For the briefest moment, she had no idea how she had come to be standing on this upturned beer crate in this vast and ugly room, staring back at the faces of 100 hungry strangers. "Tell us," they pleaded with bleary eyes and wetly gaping mouths. "Tell us your secret." Before she could stop it, a memory surfaced of her 13-year-old self, paralysed centre stage and stammering like an idiot, in her first and last school play. Seconds later, "Oh God, not now, not again." The memory blurred and shivered. The vertigo drop-kicked her belly. The emptiness opened up inside. Who the hell was she? Why the hell was she here? She fished around for a mental handhold, felt her thoughts spiral towards the void. Was certain, for a moment, that she was about to throw up. Then, "For Christ's sake, woman!" She swallowed convulsively. "Get a hold of yourself. You know how to handle this. Forget the past, concentrate on the now." She stared down at her flashy heels, an impulsive party night treat to self. She let out her breath in 1 long blow. "You are strong," she silently chanted, thinking of the exercises Chloe had taken her through the evening before. "You are powerful. This is your moment. Trust it. Let everything else go." The nausea peaked, flickered, dissolved. She cleared her throat. She looked up. She attempted a smile. "How the fuck," she croaked, "did I end up in this fairy tale?" There was a ripple of laughter, a couple of cheers. Alex took a tentative sip from her beer and felt the void retreat. Over the heads of the crowd, she spotted the Eudaimonia logo that the design guys had smoothed onto the back wall seconds before the first guests arrived. She let the smile widen into a grin. Yes, Pantone Warm Red 172 was perfect.